What if the single most important factor determining your success and happiness wasn't your upbringing or circumstances, but how you see yourself? This groundbreaking insight forms the core of Nathaniel Brandon's transformative work on self-esteem. Self-esteem isn't just feeling good about yourself, it's the experience that you are appropriate to life and its requirements. It consists of two essential components: self-efficacy, confidence in your ability to think and navigate challenges, and self-respect, the conviction that you deserve happiness. This isn't something you're born with, it's earned through choices and actions. When you trust your mind and know you deserve happiness, this conviction becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Those with healthy self-esteem persist longer when facing obstacles and respond more resourcefully to challenges. Have you ever pushed away someone who treated you well, almost as if their kindness made you uncomfortable? That's low self-esteem speaking. Our self-esteem generates expectations about what's possible for us, which then drive actions that make these beliefs reality. In today's rapidly changing world, self-esteem has become not just a psychological need, but an economic one. With the shift to mind work, we face unprecedented demands for innovation and self-management. Without self-esteem, the abundance of choice becomes frightening rather than liberating. The six pillars of self-esteem provide a practical framework for developing genuine self-worth. Since self-esteem is a consequence of internally generated practices, we must address its source through these crucial pillars. Living consciously means being mentally present in what you're doing while you're doing it. It's about seeking to understand your inner and outer worlds, refusing to blur uncomfortable facts, and being aware of your actions and their consequences. Most humans sleepwalk through existence. Enlightenment is waking up. Self-acceptance means refusing to be in an adversarial relationship with yourself. It's the willingness to experience, without denial, that you think what you think, feel what you feel, and are what you are. When you've done something regrettable, self-acceptance doesn't deny reality, but seeks to understand why something wrong felt necessary at the time. Self-responsibility recognizes that you are the source of your choices and actions. You're accountable for how you prioritize time, communicate, and pursue happiness. Taking responsibility is empowering. It places life back in your hands rather than leaving you dependent on others. Your life belongs to you, not others, and you're not here to live up to someone else's expectations. Self-assertiveness means honoring your wants, needs, and values and expressing them appropriately. It's not aggression, but openly being who you are with self-respect. Some people move as if they have no right to exist, speaking inaudibly. When we fail to express ourselves in appropriate contexts, we damage our self-esteem. Living purposefully means supporting your existence by translating thoughts into reality. Self-responsible people don't burden others with their support. This involves formulating goals, identifying necessary actions, monitoring behavior for alignment with goals, and paying attention to outcomes. Personal integrity means congruence between words and behavior. Acting against what we believe is right betrays our mind. No rationalization can undo the damage to self-respect from betraying our values. Restoring integrity requires owning our actions, understanding our motivations, acknowledging harm done, making amends, and committing to better future behavior. Practicing these virtues creates a need for them. Living consciously makes mental fog uncomfortable. Self-responsibility makes dependency feel burdensome. Integrity makes dishonesty disturbing. Like physical exercise, these practices become easier with time, and they don't require perfection to be beneficial. Research has identified five conditions associated with high self-esteem in children: total acceptance of their thoughts and feelings, clearly defined fair limits providing security, respect for their dignity without humiliation, high standards conveyed respectfully, and parents who themselves enjoy high self-esteem. Notably, wealth, education, and social class showed no significant correlation with children's self-esteem. Touch is essential for healthy development, providing sensory stimulation and conveying love. Without adequate physical contact, children carry an ache that never entirely vanishes. A child treated with love tends to internalize that feeling and experience themselves as lovable. Love doesn't feel real when tied to performance or when the child receives messages that you are not enough. Children who receive respect from adults learn self-respect. Before calling a child stupid or clumsy, parents should ask if this is how they want their child to experience themselves. Psychological visibility is crucial. When our responses are congruent with a child's behavior, they feel seen. How parents respond when children make mistakes profoundly affects self-esteem. Making mistakes is integral to learning, just as a child learns to walk through a series of false moves. When children are ridiculed or have parents impatiently take over, they cannot feel free to struggle and learn. For many children, school represents a second chance to develop a better sense of self. Teachers who project confidence in a child's competence can provide powerful counterbalances to negative home influences. A teacher's own self-esteem is perhaps the primary factor in their ability to nurture students' self-esteem. Teachers with high self-esteem help children develop problem-solving strategies and base classroom control on understanding and mutual respect. Great teachers share a deep belief in their students' potential and can transmit this conviction during interactions. In the workplace, self-esteem has gained new significance as changing economic realities create fresh challenges. The shift to an information economy has increased demand for knowledge workers with advanced skills. Organizations that support self-esteem provide environments where people feel safe admitting mistakes, accepted as individuals, challenged by inspiring assignments, and empowered to solve problems. The need for self-esteem transcends cultural boundaries because it's rooted in biology. All humans require a sense of competence and worth to properly care for themselves. A culture that values mind, accountability, and self-responsibility fosters self-esteem. One that encourages victimhood breeds dependency. The need for self-esteem is a summons to the hero within us. A willingness to live the six practices when doing so isn't easy. Two primary enemies must be overcome: laziness and the impulse to avoid discomfort. Living consciously requires effort. Generating awareness is work that fights against entropy and inertia. While high self-esteem people are ultimately happier, building self-esteem requires willingness to endure discomfort for spiritual growth. When avoiding discomfort becomes our highest priority, we abandon the six practices precisely when we need them most. Taking small steps in consciousness and self-acceptance leads to liking ourselves more, encouraging further growth. We become more truthful, take on harder challenges, and build spiritual muscle. Fear and pain never disappear entirely, but diminish as we grow more powerful. One of society's biggest lies is that selfishness is easy and self-sacrifice takes spiritual strength. In reality, people sacrifice themselves daily. That's their tragedy. Honoring your mind, judgment, values, and convictions is the ultimate act of courage. This is what self-esteem demands of us, not to run from life's challenges, but to embrace them with the conviction that you are worthy of happiness and capable of meeting life's demands. Your relationship with yourself determines everything else.